The stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve usually sounds like this.
But this year, it sounds a little more like this.
Take his mask and shut. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look at me like I'm from Mars when I don't wear it in the store. Don't even try to make me put it on or I'm walking out the door. Take his mask and shut. I ain't wearing it no more.
The views expressed on the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Here we go!
That's right.
You have tuned into the one, the only Take 12 Recovery Radio Show. Anthony's here. Denver's
Hello.
Here.
Howdy.
The Vid is here, Dave Fleming.
What's up?
And a very special guest from Sweet Home, Oregon, more recently Shed, Oregon, Derek Ader is in the house.
Just don't drink. Walk if you're ready. This is the place.
And everybody said,
this is the place where I wear no mask. I am who I am, not part of the past.
That's right.
Get a little taste of saving grace.
Welcome to the human race. Come on in.
Come on in, my friends.
This is the place.
Welcome to 2022, the Take 12 Recovery Radio's presentation of our first show of the year. We are glad you are with us. The topic this week, complacency, the enemy of the recovered. And we are going to be talking about the difference between recovered and recovering, because we need to kind of do that before we talk about complacency and the title. That is important. But before we do any of that, Anthony, hey, buddy, we're going to talk about some of your news, but let's not do that quite yet.
Well, I guess it has to be now. You've kind of thrown it out.
Well, no, you can make something up, like my fish died or,
I don't own fish.
Oh, okay,
not anymore.
Question
for Derek.
Do you still have chickens?
No.
No more chickens.
I got rid of the chickens as I'm going to be moving from that home. I'm not sure if I'm going to be somewhere where I can have chickens.
Oh, so. If you can, are you going to do chickens again?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Did you give the chickens away or?
That was my thought.
We just had the holidays, so.
Yeah, I was going to go, where did the chickens
what was
go?
For dinner?
Denver.
Howdy.
Denver's enjoying the rain as always.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we got a full house today.
We do have a full house, and Dave Fleming, our local CADC level 2 dude, our better known as Vid,
the Vid,
is here. And then our special guest, Derek Ader, from the marvelous little town of Sweet Home, Oregon.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Why do they call it Sweet Home?
Have you ever been there?
Because it's a home.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful
place. And it's
place.
About the farthest away from Sweet.
Yeah.
I love it up there.
I love
Shots
Sweet
fired.
Home.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the stills and the witches.
You're
meth
labs. You're safe over here, Derek.
Some have said that it's the closest place to heaven on earth, that God lives in Sweet Home and he just visits other places.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Were they intoxicated when they said that?
Hey, there's some good fishing up in Sweet Home.
Per capita, I was told at one time Sweet Home had the most churches per capita in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing with per capita, the amount of bars as well.
Really?
Churches and bars, yep, yeah. Every corner.
If you're watching on YouTube,
they kind of go together.
There's Derek right there in the middle between Dave and Anthony. Wave, Derek. There's Derek.
Hi.
Yeah, this is our special
Good
guest.
Morning.
So this, by the way, is not only the home of the golden gnome Cecil, but it's also the home of the slippery camera. Yeah, this the camera that spins.
The lazy, wow. The lazy S.
The lazy S camera. That's right. That's right.
So yeah, lazy-est. I do have news though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
New Year's Eve,
you
I got
tell.
Engaged.
He got engaged.
Yep.
Yay.
To Naomi. She's been on the show
yes,
with us before.
She has.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations,
thank
man.
You.
Congratulations, Naomi.
Yeah, congratulations.
Awesome. That is wonderful. I'm really glad to hear that. Good deal.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That is a win.
Yep.
That
win.
Is an absolute win. Yes, indeedy.
Nice.
Speaking of things like the win, of course, we have to usher in this.
Stop right there.
Uh-oh.
It's time for the Monty Man's Weekly Watch.
Complain and whine, you're the Monty Man.
Yeah.
And we know how you love to complain.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something to whine about as each week you drive us insane. That's right, everybody.
Boy.
It's that time again for Monty Man's Weekly Whine.
The baby. There's the baby. All right, this is the part of the show where I complain about something I'm totally powerless over and have no power to change, but it just makes me feel good to complain about. There you go.
And
don't
list,
you wish you had a show you could do that too, people?
And the list is long.
The wambulance on speed dial.
Food shrinkage. Is it just me or have serving sizes gone down at least 25%?
Mm, yes.
And the price went up.
Great observation.
Prices have gone up. Now, I remember when we all noticed candy bar sizes going down, right? That was like 20 years ago. Like, you know, the Big Hunk wasn't big anymore, you know, and the Butterfinger was not much bigger than your little finger and stuff like that.
Pinky.
But now it seems like it's in everything. Serving sizes at restaurants. I mean, the burger patties, they're paper thin.
Everything
the buns are smaller.
Everything but the big gulps.
Oh, the big,
they're still dominating. Diabetes is kicking hind in there.
Praise God for that, right?
Yeah, huh?
So I'm just a little bit annoyed because the prices aren't just the same; they are going up.
Yeah.
And the serving size is going down. I mean, like breakfast meat. I have a policy. Don't mess with my breakfast meat. So I'm at Elmer's restaurant.
Bacon's kind of sacred to me, too.
Yeah. What do you mean three sausage links? The standard is four. Four. Come on.
We've been
three
through this.
Yes,
already.
We have. But now they've gotten even smaller. And have you seen the brown and served sausages? They're about the size. They're about an inch and a half now. So I'm making like eight of them. And my wife goes, eight? I go, it's like having three. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There it
or
is.
Four.
Wow.
I thought four was a standard.
Four was a standard
well, yeah,
number.
It is. Four. Come on. I mean, every restaurant I've ever been to, you get four links.
Huh.
Right? So you get three in Elmer's, and then if you ask for an extra link, it's like $4 mm-hmm. for the link, for one. Anybody got a wine?
Wow.
That's
I'm,
it.
No,
that's,
I'm going to go home and investigate that, because I just bought a pack of... the little brownie
yeah,
sausages.
800 milligrams of sodium or something
yeah.
per
yeah.
week.
Yeah, I'll probably have three. But.
All right. So listen, we got to follow up the wine with the win, right? I mean, we got to do that. I mean, heavens to Betsy.
I thought we started out with a win.
And
yeah.
now it's time for the Monty Kinda. Man's weekly win because we have to say something positive.
No, we don't.
Oh, my.
Certainly. All right. I turned the camera over to Mr. Derek Ader. So this win is about him, actually. First of all, welcome to being a guest host on the show. So you get swag. You get a Take 12 Radio wrist bracelet thingy. You get a Take 12 Radio Monty Man mug.
Wow.
A clean one, not the one you drank out of. So that.
Excellent. Thank you.
And, and remind me to get you some of these, Anthony. But you also get 34 one-hour workshops walking through the big book with Chris S. and moi. And so this is an audio DVD. It is the most comprehensive study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous ever put together in audio format. And we've been told that by tons of people in the field. So that is for you as well. Remember, though, it needs to be played on a DVD player or your computer.
Excellent.
So
thank
that
you.
Is your
thank
gift
you.
As well. Great. For being on the show. And our win is a Derek, if I may share this.
Yeah.
He was a student at Adult and Teen Challenge, and then he became an intern at Adult and Teen Challenge, and now Derek is a recovery coach, full-time staff member at Adult and Teen Challenge Men's Recovery Center.
Nice.
That is a win.
Correct.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and you get this.
Woohoo.
There you go.
Wow.
Instead of this.
The coveted horn.
So congratulations, brother. That is really, really awesome.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Lots of hard work, you know, and we're just so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you're going to have to take your mic and tilt it a little like this.
Okay.
The mic itself. There you go.
Okay.
Okay, now bring and there we
there
are.
There we go.
Way better.
Excellent.
Way better. Yeah, so congratulations.
Use your outdoor voice.
Yeah.
That's right. So if anybody out there would like to donate about $1,500, there is a booster that will go to all these mics. These particular mics, these are the top of the line for podcasting, but they're gain hungry. And the little mechanism that goes from each one of them is really expensive. And so we are looking for a sponsor in that area if you are so inclined. And I'm not kidding. We really are looking for a sponsor in that area. And if you'd like to help sponsor Take 12 Recovery Radio and continue to see these smiling faces on YouTube as well as all other podcasting platforms, email me at take12radio@comcast.net. There we go. And my camera is spinning, and it's come to rest because we're going to be back right after our little break. So don't go away. We're coming back with the topic, complacency, the enemy of the recovered, right after this.
This is Chris Schroeder. You are listening to Take12Radio.com, recovery talk and positive music.
Hey, it's the Monty Man, and I am inviting you to join me and my guest, Chris S., one of the most downloaded circuit speakers in the world of the 12 steps, as we walk through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and walk through the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, both conference-approved literature. We're going to be going line by line, page by page of these incredible books. If you want to sink your teeth into recovery and really get some filet mignon of what recovery is all about within these fellowships, then you need to tune into this show. All you got to do, visit take12radio.com, scroll down to the Recovery Workshops banner, and click on Walking Through the Big Book or Walking Through the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. There, you can download for fun and for free every single one of the workshops on both of those amazing journeys. Also available wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Take 12 Recovery Radio.
Hey there, this is Pastor Sean Silveri from the Oregon Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God, and you are listening to the recovery talk and positive music of Take 12 Recovery Radio.
I like where he's going here.
Helps the community grow, helps us grow. Monty has done a phenomenal job.
Lack of open-mindedness. And you're talking about taking people through a spiritual process, getting them into recovery.
Thanks, Monty, and thanks for all your support.
We need spirituality to make this thing work long-term. an absolute pleasure. You certainly know a lot of people.
This is one of the places that is about the business of the solution.
Well, welcome back to the show. You've tuned into the world's original and oldest recovery talk and positive music radio station, Take 12 Recovery Radio. And in studio with me today is Dave Fleming, Derek Ader, our special guest. Anthony's here, mm-hmm. Anthony P., and Denver Wolf, E. That's Wolf with an E on the end.
Wolfie.
Is
that a cat named Wolfie?
Did you?
Yeah.
Complacency, the enemy of the recovered. So let's talk about the difference between recovering and recovered. If I can get my spinny there. There we go.
You're almost wrapped up.
Hi. Yeah. So I like to give my peanut allergy analogy. Derek's heard this before. Mm-hmm. So because there seems to be confusion within the 12-step community in particular about once you've had a spiritual awakening as a result of the 12 steps, are you still in recovery or have you recovered? And so the best way for me to explain that, to make it real user-friendly to your ears, is if you have a peanut allergy and you eat peanuts, you're going to swell up. You're probably going to have a hard time breathing, and they're going to take you to the hospital, and they're going to stick you with an EpiPen. And while that EpiPen medication is working, you are in recovery from the peanut allergy. You're in the process of recovering from the symptoms and the problems that the peanuts are causing you. Once the swelling has gone down, everything's gone back to normal again, and they release you from the hospital, on the paperwork, it'll say recovered from peanut allergy. They may give you some aftercare instructions and that kind of thing. But you're no longer in recovery from the peanut allergy. You've actually recovered from it. And so as it is with alcoholism, active alcoholism, or active drug addiction, when you are in the throes of it and you go into a process called the recovery program or the recovery process, you are recovering from the damage that has been created in the wake of some of the behaviors and certainly some of the mental, physical, spiritual damage that has been done while you were using. If you follow the practical application of the 12 steps in a recovery program and you come to a place where you actually have done the work and God has removed the obsession to use, or drink, and you've had a spiritual awakening as a result of those steps, then you would have moved into a state of recovered. As with the peanut allergy, if you've recovered from the peanut allergy, are you still allergic to peanuts? And everybody would say,
yeah.
Yes, you're still allergic to peanuts. Once you've recovered from alcoholism, are you still allergic to alcohol? Mm-hmm. Yes. Once you've recovered from narcotic addiction, is your body going to respond to narcotics in a way that's less than favorable to you? Yes, of course. And so the difference is not recovery or recovered. The difference is recovered versus cured. If you are cured, right, then the allergy itself and everything about it physically, and all, it's gone. If you've recovered, the symptoms cease to happen. You're not stealing anymore. You're not jonesing anymore. The obsession's been removed. All the stuff that you're doing, even when you're clean, that leads you to relapse, isn't happening anymore. You've actually recovered. Do you have a responsibility to maintain that state of recovered? Yes, you do. And Dave, you and I have talked about this at length, whether we're in recovery or we're recovered, and right. We're on the same page that we have experienced a state of recovered.
What does it say in the forward to the first edition?
This is a story of 100 men and women who have recovered from alcoholism.
And it's based on what?
It's based on the maintenance of a spiritual condition.
Daily
maintenance. So you will stay in that state of recovered, provided you follow a few simple rules, right? Or
principles,
right?
You know,
the biggest question that I always hear is, what's the time frame? Right.
Oh, from recovery to recovered?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what if I have a spiritual awakening before I even start the 12 steps?
Which happens.
Which happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my personal situation, I was introduced to the 12 steps.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do the 12 steps. I didn't, like, work the steps.
Right.
Until I had the spiritual awakening and then had to figure out how to live life on life's terms without chemicals in my system.
Right. Right.
But because people ask me, like, how long does that take? You know, you come into a program, you know, like one of the ones that we're familiar with. And some people are like, well, you explain it to them briefly and they think, well, then I'm recovered. I'm not using, I'm not stealing. I'm not, you know, I had a spiritual awakening, so I'm recovered, right?
Right.
No.
Right. Just because of that isn't the only measuring stick.
Takes time.
Yeah.
You actually have to work through the process of, if you're doing the 12 steps, you actually have to work through all of that steps.
Yeah. And so when people say, I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I go, so you've done all those steps. Well, not all of them. Then you haven't had a spiritual awakening.
Not just
as
read
a
them in the meeting, you know, while off the wall.
You can't have a spiritual awakening as a result of steps that you haven't done.
You haven't worked.
You've got to. Now, you can have a spiritual awakening as a result of other things. Right. But if we're talking about the step process, if you haven't done the steps, you can't credit them for a spiritual awakening if you haven't done them.
Well, even if you have a spiritual awakening, that's just a starting point, because you still have all that other stuff.
Right. That's just the
that
awakening
you had that got you to that point.
Right.
Now you have to, if you don't work through that trauma or that whatever that stuff is, you're going to go back to your, you know, eating your peanuts, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right? I have a similar analogy using
Twinkies, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because you like Twinkies and I like
peanuts. No, not really. But
don't you like to suck the filling out of them?
They last for like for 150 years.
Yeah, like McDonald's French fries.
Hamburgers.
So let's talk about complacency. Derek, ever get complacent?
Yeah. Hopefully not anytime real soon, but I've been complacent in the midst of my own recovery and journey walking with the Lord. That's definitely one of the significant factors that has led to relapse. I do know that.
Is it easy to become complacent and not realize it?
I think it is an ever so subtle thing. I think it's really, in terms of definition, potentially just an unawareness for the need for change in the midst of a dangerous context. And so I think it can be a subtle thing where it creeps up on one, but my own conviction is, to be complacent just means that I potentially have stopped working the steps. I quit putting into practice the things that I know that I'm supposed to do that's going to keep me on the straight and narrow walking with the Lord. So
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's, and then I'll come over here to Anthony after I read this little piece, if I can get my camera, my spinny camera, to work well. There we go. Okay. One of the most dangerous things that people can do in recovery is to become complacent. This can lead to a situation where the person believes that they have already done enough to guarantee their success, and it can mean that they stop making an effort. The danger of this type of attitude is it means that the individual can risk losing everything. It is therefore vital that people who are hoping to make a permanent break from alcohol or drugs are always on the lookout for complacency, and that they do what they can to avoid it. So, what is complacency? Well, it refers to a situation where a person feels self-satisfied and they no longer feel in danger of risks from their past environments. It means that the person has let their guard down because they no longer feel that there is any risk against from which to defend. Complacency is viewed as a negative way to be because it means that the person is overconfident and they are therefore at high risk of running into trouble. Some of the biggest man-made disasters in history have occurred when people became so complacent about things that they ignored the risks. Well, there are a number of different risks associated with becoming complacent in recovery, including one, if people become complacent in recovery, it means that they will stop making any future progress. The person will have become stuck, and this will mean that they will be at high risk of relapse back to addiction. When people take their recovery for granted, it will no longer feel like that big of a deal to them. The person will no longer feel any gratitude for what they have, and this means that they will not make any real effort to keep it. The individual in this situation can easily fall into the trap of romancing the drink and drug, and before they know it, they're back where they started. Ever been there, Anthony?
Oh, yeah.
Denver?
Oh, yeah.
Back where you started?
That term of romancing has been in my life quite frequently.
Yeah. Mm. Here's number three. The fact that the person has stopped making progress will mean that they will not be able to get the most out of their recovery. Even if they do manage to stay sober, the person will be living a life that is far from perfect. The individual will be selling himself or herself short. And four, it is common for people who have become complacent to develop dry drunk syndrome. This means that even though they are physically sober, they still act in many ways as if they were still caught up in addiction. That one there is the one I identify with the most. Because believe it or not, folks, there are worse things than drinking or using narcotics. People make permanent decisions over temporary problems all the time. We know the suicide rate in this country keeps rising, especially in the last few years. And there's just lots of damage that's done, behind the behaviors of people that stopped using narcotics or stopped drinking alcohol, but nothing else in their life changed whatsoever. So Anthony.
Yeah.
Let's talk about complacency in Anthony for a minute. You've experienced complacency. I think we all have to some degree. You've experienced complacency. Did it sneak up on you? And you didn't really realize you were there, or were you perfectly aware you were being complacent?
A little of both.
Yeah.
The first guy who, the second guy who tried to walk me through the steps, he was successful.
Right.
He called me out on it. Because I was opening Saturday, sometimes Sunday meetings in my hometown.
Right.
And I was kind of just going through the motions, and he said, "Looks like you're getting pretty complacent." And I took that as a compliment.
Oh.
Because I didn't understand.
Right.
And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "That's not a good thing." He goes, "What step are you on?" And I didn't have an answer for him. And this is my sponsor.
Right.
And he goes, "If you're not working on your recovery, you're working on a relapse."
Mm.
And I go, "No, because I don't think I'm even close to a relapse."
Don't feel like using.
And he goes, "Are you moving forward?" I'm like, "I don't feel like I'm moving forward, but I'm not moving backwards." He goes, "If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards." And
interesting.
And he was right. And I quit going to that meeting for about a month or so, and just kind of white knuckled it, and then I went back, and I was like, "Look, I got to jump right back in, head first," and started working the steps with him.
Why did you stop going? Did you get a resentment because he called you out?
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't just like a him and me type meeting.
It was one of those in front of everybody.
Yeah. So, you know, it was great. Felt super shamed and
Yeah.
But
you gonna beat me up? I'll show you. Yeah, I just won't come back for a while.
I'm not gonna do this anymore. I'm taking my toys and I'm going home.
Right. Yeah. And how'd that work out? You just came back.
Yeah,
right?
My toys broke and I had nobody to play with.
Wow. Wow, that's a powerful statement right there. Denver.
That was nicely put. My toys broke and I had nobody to play with. I'm coming back.
So, Denver, I've known you for quite a while.
Yeah.
And watched you go through some valleys,
mm-hmm.
And also succeed and be on the top of the hill as well. Did you know when you were getting complacent, or did it sneak up on you?
Oh, I believe it's a combination of both.
Both?
Yeah, laziness on my part and not really paying attention, forgetting where I came from. I got to remember that all the time.
Right. And,
it's been an interesting journey, and has been up and down valleys, but I'm not sorry necessarily that I went through those valleys, because it just helps remind me of where I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
You know, the work that it needs to be done. My end, God's end, everything comes together. So when I hit those valleys, it's a wake-up call to wake up.
Right, right.
Get busy, do something.
One of the reasons people get complacent, and this is a very it's just a short sentence, but boy, is it powerful. The individual stops feeling grateful for being recovered. There's a little thing that I teach the guys out at Adult and Teen Challenge when it comes to attitude, and it's a quote from Zig Ziglar that goes, "It is your attitude, not your aptitude, that will determine your altitude." Right? And I think that is very, very true. Dave, you've experienced some lows. We all have, but you've experienced some lows. Is part of being down in the dumps, is part of it due to forgetting to be grateful for you?
I think so. You know, I always think of like the halts, right? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Yeah.
So if any of those things start popping up, I look at like, why? What am I doing? Am I not getting engaged? I'm not getting involved. I'm not giving back. And I always compare pretty much everything that I do here to what I started out doing when I was in Minnesota, and then what my program was was like when I was there, because I felt complete and I felt like I had some serenity, and it was like, you know, in a daily thing. And so I got to remember that now when I'm doing things, I have to stay engaged in some form of another. I mean, I not only work in the field, but I also am doing some facilitating some classes at another center, and then I'm also doing some volunteer work, and that's keeps me plugged in, keeps me grateful, because I have to remember all those things that got me to a recovery or being recovered. When I help other people, and so it helps working with other addicts, right? Because even the big book says nothing so ensures our recovery as intensive work with other alcoholics and alcoholics and addicts. And so
that'll keep you grateful, especially when you watch them hit the wall, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And being able to address the things that people do when they get complacent, mm-hmm. or not do,
mm-hmm.
Is also helpful, because then it helps me, it reminds me all the time of what I need to do and staying on track and
right.
being grateful and you know, I try to stay plugged in, even, you know, with you, with people that are doing YouTube videos and other people in recovery, and see what they're doing. And I was connected with this one lady that told me what she does, and it's, you know, in the morning, get that morning routine with your coffee, doing the meditation and doing the reading and mm-hmm. doing like a self-affirmation thing.
Right.
And so I started doing that. I'm not perfect at it. I don't do it every day, but it's good. I find it helpful in getting started with the day.
So there's stuff you got to do there. I mean, there's just putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. You can't just say never going to drink or use drugs again.
Right.
Cause that's what I hear a lot. Oh, I'm good. I'm not gonna ever use drugs.
Oh boy! Don't we hear that?
And then 2 months later, they've relapsed and they disappear.
Right. And we've talked about before that
much of the time when people say, I'm never going to do that again, you could have come up to a lie detector test and they'd pass it.
Yeah.
You know, because they really do believe that.
Right.
They really do. But they also don't understand what being without the first defense is. They you know, they may not have the desperation of a drowning man yet. They may yet still be learning some stuff. And which leads me to this common reason why some people become complacent. Some believe that time heals all wounds, but this can be a real curse when it comes to overcoming addiction. When people first give up addiction, the suffering of this condition will be fresh in their mind, and this will give them the motivation to do things they need to do in order to build a successful recovery. Unfortunately, over time, the person forgets how bad it was, and this means that they begin to lose their motivation. Unless they are able to do something to re-energize their recovery, they will be at high risk of falling into complacency and eventually relapsing. So there's something to be said about keeping it fresh.
Right.
Right? And not, you know, some people say that means keeping it green. And I'm going to tell you that just keeping it green will not keep you sober. I mean, you've got to do more than just in your mind remember where you came from. You've actually got to engage. You know how it works really can be summed up in step 12. You know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry this message to alcoholics, to addicts who still suffer. That really is how it works, right? We take what has been given us, and we give that away. And we've heard over and over again in meetings and in fellowships and conferences and conventions, you cannot keep what you have unless you give it away. But you can't give away something you don't have. And therefore, if you want to have something to give away, you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to engage in some program or another in order to be able to share that successfully with other people.
Well, and there's something else that I think gets lost in the translation, if you will, is just because you're in a program or you've gone through a program doesn't mean you have all the information and that you're ready to go.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
Sponsor somebody or you know, go give it away. Like, I have it now, I'm going to give it away. Because if you're in a program or you're in a residential program for, you know, 60, 90 days, a year, whatever.
Yeah.
You actually have to go out into the community and actually put the stuff that you've learned into practice when you're dealing with life on life's terms. You can't just
the real world, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just say, well, I've done this for a year, so I haven't used or drank for a year, but I was in a protected environment. And so when you get out into the community with all of the old friends and family and everything else that comes along with it.
Morality hits.
You know, wearing the mask and all that other stuff, right?
Sure, sure.
We have to give ourselves a chance to actually put this stuff into practice before we start, you know, going out and helping, sponsoring others, I guess is the best way to put that. Before we're like taking on the responsibility of walking somebody else through it,
yeah,
we need to actually put this stuff into practice, because reading the steps and doing the work in a treatment program is a whole lot different than doing it in real life.
In real life, you betcha. In fact, we can say that about meetings.
Right.
Just going to the meetings and reading the steps on the wall. I read the steps on the wall, therefore I've done them. No.
Right.
You could memorize it. I sit in meetings where people will have the readings, right? Some meetings will have so many readings that we're at the smoke break. and it amuses me. But I've watched people who have some of that stuff memorized, but their life is a mess.
Right.
But man, they got that sucker memorized and they're there morning, noon, and night drinking bad coffee, man, and they're memorizing that stuff. But they really aren't living it.
That's the same thing with, you know, going to church once a week and checking the box.
Checking the box.
Even twice a year, you know, and checking the box, and I've done this, so now I'm good to go.
Right.
I mean, even if, you know, my big thing is, and I know a lot of people don't like this, but you have to engage in something healthy for your recovery every single day. You can't just go to a meeting once a week and expect your life to change, because you spent, your addiction was 24/7.
24/7.
So that treat, you're not getting enough of that opposite interaction to change that behavior and that thought process.
Let me pick on Derek for a minute, if I may be so bold.
He likes it.
Okay. Can we talk about what your profession was a while back?
Yeah. I was a full-time licensed Foursquare associate pastor in Sweet Home.
Yeah. So you were a pastor. Now, we know that addiction is no respecter of men, right?
Correct.
Did you become complacent? Did you get so busy doing God's work that you forgot about your recovery?
No. My scenario was just a little bit different in this sense. So in my alcoholism, I experienced a cross addiction with methamphetamines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought into the lie that because I hadn't been using methamphetamines for years, that an occasional drink, as you would say, drinking as a gentleman, was just okay for me.
Yeah.
And I say that to say this. So basically, in essence, it wasn't a complacent thing. I was in denial. I never had really quit drinking alcohol. I would work through the week and leading a celibate recovery ministry for 4 years every week. So preaching sobriety on Sundays and then living in hypocrisy Monday morning, knowing without accountability, kind of motivated by entitlement, I just would continue to compromise with alcohol. So it wasn't a complacency thing. I had never been really actually delivered from the obsession and the desire to want to quit drinking.
What happened?
Bottom line, I went through a scenario where I began to get depressed, and I won't unpack that and go into great details. Not really relevant to our conversation
sure.
this morning. But so that just enhanced my drinking,
mm-hmm.
and I began to isolate, and in my depression. That led to a full-blown relapse in methamphetamines. I did the thing that I thought I'd never do again. And I had kidney failure. I spent six nights in ICU in Lebanon.
Wow.
And I had a revelation. I had an epiphany. God pretty much told me, Derek, you can continue to drink and you'll die, or you can choose life and be sober. And that's when 18 months ago, praise God, I got on the phone and I checked back into Teen Challenge. Completed the six-month restoration, did the one-year internship, and in the midst of submitting to God's will for my life, I was delivered from the obsession and the desire to
right.
drink. And so I am recovered. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm more free now in Christ Jesus than I've ever been in 50 years. I turned 50 in December, and I've never had 18 months of solid sobriety in my life.
Yeah.
I've been drinking alcohol since I've been a teenager and have been a functioning alcoholic and very successful for many years, but had always lived in denial. And so I had to face denial. That was my big issue. And so now the complacency issue is real. I think about Proverbs 1:32. It says that a complacent fool end up dying in destruction.
Yeah.
And then Amos 6:1 says that woe to those that live in complacency. And so complacency is a biblical precept that is really familiar, really related to idle time. You know, been said that idle time is the devil's playground. And so
I like
what I've heard Dave say, you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And the only thing that has to change is everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I just repeat what I hear you say at times too, Monty, that for me, getting sober was the goal in the beginning. But that's not the end of all means. It's to be of maximum service to God. And to do that means I can't be complacent. I can't
right.
live in idle time.
Right.
And so, yeah, the rooted issue for me had been denial, not necessarily complacency.
And the solution, bottom line, was this relationship that has developed between you and your Creator.
Yeah.
And He is the one that has done for you what you could not do.
That's correct.
Right? Yeah. And He's the one that has removed the obsession.
Amen.
And now you live a free man.
Yeah.
In Praise a state God. Of recovered.
Yeah.
You're not constantly recovering,
right?
Right. You have yeah. recovered. But yeah. to maintain that state, we do need to continue yeah. Doing what we know that the good Lord would call us to do. And He'll call different people to do things in different ways, right?
Yeah.
Anthony, so you're currently sponsoring a couple guys?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that God has called you to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to. at first. I told my sponsor who walked me through the steps, he goes, so what happens after 12? I'm done. He goes, no, you get to share it with somebody else. I'm like in a meeting? He goes, no, you get to sponsor people. And I go, get to? You mean I have to? And he goes, you got to change your way of thinking.
Right.
You get to.
Yeah.
You get to watch somebody's eyes slowly open up and when they see the light.
Right.
And so I have about five guys that call me their sponsor.
Right.
And two like of them that actually call me.
Right.
Which, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's like, that guy's my sponsor. Oh, yeah? What's his number? Hold on.
Yeah. Let me get
that. Oh, that's my church down there on Easter.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Easter and Christmas.
CEOs.
That's my home group. That's my home group over there. When was the last time you were there? Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear you. Denver, you do a thing a lot with your giftings in the area of leather work, and you have a booth that you do usually on Sundays, right? That you go around
quite often.
You talk to a lot of people, and you're kind of a people watcher kind of person, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you like to observe.
Well, I'll tell you. Through this COVID thing, I have toned down shows, obviously, I had to.
Right.
And my socializing with people, I've toned down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't, it's not complacency necessarily, but it is a dangerous zone. I'm looking forward to, I'm going to be retired here shortly, and I would imagine that I will probably be doing some volunteer work just to get me busy again, because... Mm.
To keep the motor running, right?
Well, I'm telling you, I do miss that.
Yeah.
Being around other addicts,
mm-hmm.
is frustrating as heck, but it is also refreshing when they open up their eyes, you know, and you see a little hope in them.
Right.
Plus, it reminds me of where I came from.
Yeah.
And where I don't want to be. So.
So when you do your Simply Strapped.
Right.
Right is the name of your
correct.
The business that you do. Denver creates a lot of things from leather. Belts is
mostly
the biggie,
it's mostly
right?
belts.
And I'm telling you, by the way, these belts last forever and he guarantees them. And I mean, you could pull them behind a diesel truck and they're not going to break. They're amazing. But you have an opportunity to talk to a lot of people. Do you see a lot of people that you just think to yourself, how in the heck are they still alive? I mean, are they still making it? Are most of your connections when you talk to people pretty positive?
I would say most of it is pretty positive. I never hesitate to let them know I'm a Christian when that topic comes up. And mm-hmm. it comes up more often than you would think.
And you don't even have to bring it up, right?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the aura or what goes on there.
Yeah.
But there have been people showing up at my booth, and I felt, in fact, there was three people that showed up at my booth altogether, and they were looped out, and I thought, man, you guys could use some help. No need to try to talk to that person at that stage because they're not ready. Mm-hmm. You know, they were cloud nine.
Yeah.
So I didn't bother with that.
But, right.
Yeah, there are individuals that you can say a prayer for as they're walking away.
Mm-hmm.
Going, man, I hope, you know, something rubbed off on you while you were here at my booth.
Yeah.
Something positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you have opportunity all the time to share your faith.
I do.
Yeah.
I get the chance to let them know I'm with Take 12 Radio. And also my Christian walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The struggles and everything else I go through, too. You know, you get to share that with them because I believe that helps. It's my life is not a perfect life, you know.
Right.
So if they see that I'm struggling, possibly that will give them some hope to hang in there and try.
Yeah. Amen.
Give it a shot.
Amen. Well, here's some steps on how to avoid complacency. I mean, we don't want to present the problem without some solution here. And these guys have all shared some of that today. Number one, the individual needs to keep on remembering where they have come from. It is vital that they are able to keep in mind what will happen to them if they return to addiction. Mm-hmm. We call that keeping it green. But it's not the only solution. Number two, it is commonly stated that people who are grateful for their recovery will never relapse. Gratefulness is like the opposite of complacency. A good way to develop this attitude is to keep a gratitude journal and add to this on a daily basis. By the way, how is your gratitude list, Anthony?
It's been a few days since I've worked on it, but but yeah, gratitude.
Yeah, okay. So I've got a new one that I need. I swore I was going to do it on New Year's Day, and I haven't gotten to it yet. So this show is a good reminder for me, too, because I need to have a new one for this year, at least launching forth on this year, because there's certainly enough things to focus on in the negative that I really don't need to. All right. Because I don't have any solution for them, you know, including the shrinkage of food portions, right? number three, but I got to have something to whine about every week. The individual needs to commit themselves 100% to recovery. This means that they need to get rid of any ideas of even being able to drink or use drugs again in the future. We call that a reservation. I can tell you, and you've heard people say this, Anthony, we certainly have, working in the field that we have out at the residential program. We've all heard people say, well, I totally, you know, alcohol got me into trouble, methamphetamine and opiates got me into trouble, but I'm probably going to continue to smoke some pot.
There's one thing that I used to do when I used to bring a meeting into Saturday morning at Hazelden in Minnesota. And one thing that I would tell the guys, I said, if you don't get anything else while you're here,
yeah,
is to get step one, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, on your way out the door, you might as well, make a reservation.
Yes.
For 6 months from now, because right, you're gonna be back.
I had one of those reservations in my refrigerator for a long time. It was called a Corona.
Yeah.
To remind me that I had a problem with beer, alcohol. Well, that Corona bottle stayed in my refrigerator for a very long time. It just wasn't the same one.
Oh. Well, you remember that old saying, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
If you don't have it around, it's going to be less likely to think about it.
It's funny. It's that way with food. You know, I think about these. Oh, man, I got to start eating right. Well, if it's not in your house, you're probably not going to eat it.
That's probably why God's making those portions smaller for you.
There you go. I should be grateful. That's that right. Should be on my gratitude list, right? Thank you, God, for smaller portions. Well, you do have a portion problem. Number four, it is recommended that people in recovery join some type of recovery program. The benefit of this type of approach to recovery is that the individual will have some support and a program to help them cope with life. Yeah, I mean, we do better when we hang out with people that are like-minded. We just do. We can say what we want about some of the criticisms we have of today's 12-step fellowships, but one of the reasons that they're still around is because of the emphasis on fellowship. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about it, but that's a good thing. And that's one of the reasons why they're still alive and kicking. And let's see, it can be a good idea to do some volunteer work and people who are still dealing with addiction, with people who are dealing with addiction problems, although the individual needs to be sure that they are strong enough to deal with this, kind of speaks to what you were saying, Dave. You don't want to do that until you're ready. Those people who attend recovery groups will be automatically involved in this type of work just by being present at the meeting. So that's a good place to start. Just go. And the last one, when people become sober, they need to commit to a way of living that will take them as far away from addiction as possible. This means that the person will need to work on the character traits that led them into addiction in the first place. If the individual just becomes physically sober and does not do anything else, they will be at the high risk of complacency and relapse. So it's a whole changing of the way we think. You know, Dr. Rob Kelly says, change the way you think, you will change the way you drink.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty simple. Closing thoughts before we close out with our closing song. Anybody?
Go help someone else.
Go help someone else, Dave says. Derek, closing thoughts?
Thank you for letting me be here.
Yeah.
Part of the team. This is exciting and wonderful. I'm grateful.
Can I say something to Derek?
Yes.
I know I probably said this to you a long time ago, but I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. Appreciate how far that. You've come and what you've been doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anthony, closing thoughts.
Well, I just want to congratulate Derek. That's awesome, man.
Thanks, Anthony. We've
known each other for quite a few years now, and it's awesome.
Amen. Thanks. Likewise.
Betcha.
Yeah, we were talking, and I don't know how his name came up. And I said, that's my godson. And he goes, what? I go, I know Anthony.
Yeah.
And small world. Yeah. Well, it is a small community.
Right.
So we shouldn't be surprised. Denver, closing thoughts.
And we got a good full house today. It was interesting.
Yeah, it's been a good show. Roger, sorry you missed it.
Yeah.
He's out playing golf.
Yeah, I'm real sorry, Roger, that I'm not there with you.
He's golfing?
He's golfing.
Where's he golfing
sunshine.
At?
Down in L.A., Huntington
San Diego
Beach
or something.
Not in Oregon. He's doing a tournament.
It's not in Oregon.
No.
And by the way, not only is he our Southern California rep, but he's also one of the sponsors of this show. And thank you, Roger, so much. For your financial contribution to this show as well. I do want to, before we close the show, I want to give a shout out to a really, really dear friend of mine who lives in Fargo. You guys know where Fargo is?
Oh, yeah.
Alaska?
Did you ever watch the movie? No, Fargo, North Dakota. North Dakota, right.
Right next to Minnesota.
Might as well be Alaska.
That's a great movie.
This time of year. Yeah, the movie Fargo.
Oh, I love it. Okay, yeah.
From the 80s, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that Yeah, I've watched it several times. But Ken H. from Fargo, he has celebrated many, many years of recovery. And Ken was one of the reasons that I even learned how to open up a computer case and work on the inside of it. I didn't know anything about that stuff until he kind of showed me how to do that. So a lot of the repairs that have not cost us any money are because of Ken showing me how to do that stuff, and I've been able to do much of it myself. So thank you to Ken, and he's always keeping in touch, and I am sure he is colder than cold right now in Fargo. But Ken, hey buddy, God bless you, man, and thank you for your support, and thank you for your listenership, and happy new year to you. Alrighty. Our closing song this week is by Richie Supa, and one of my favorite recovery recording artists, and it is entitled "The High Cost of Low Living."
Another deal again, another reputation ending, another youth that's been misled. And he lived so hard and he died so fast, a disciple of the street. Yeah, he put his faith in the dealer's hand. The high cost, low living. The high cost of low living. The high cost of low living. Now getting high is a wicked game, and it's waiting to take you down. When you're all strung out on a cocaine run, on the dead end side of town, and you just can't quit and walk away, 'cause the dope just keeps you coming back again.
Still missing the point of life, doing so much wrong just so I can get right. A lie that I don't believe in, wonder who can I trust. Disgust every time I do it, still I can't get enough. The drugs rushing through my veins got me going insane and end up giving me more pain than they're taking away. Somebody take me away before I'm dying on a bullet. Got my finger on the trigger, but I'm too scared to pull it. And so I'm doing things that I swore that I'd never do. Sell the kids cause they mamas is using too. There's no denying everything that I speak is true. In any city you can find me cause I am you. Hot pack, took a shot and then I dropped. Woke up, drove back to the block to cop. Locked me up in prison in a single man cell. It's still me that holds the key that keeps me living in hell.
When you cross the line and you can't get back, there's always a price to pay. I've been licking my wounds and healing my scars from all my yesterdays. When the costs go on and you land in jail,
you landed in jail,
count bricks across the floor. Sorry, just don't cut it, no.
No.
When they slam and bar the door.
Cost of Low Living by the Recovery Sounds of Mr. Richie Supa. For more of his great music, visit his website at richiesupa.com. A very special thank you to our special guests this week and to our co-host, and of course, all of you who make this broadcast possible. The original, the world's oldest recovery talk and positive music radio broadcast, the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show, welcoming you all into a safe and sober 2022. And until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man along with the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, and we are wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
This is the place.
Kitty, 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 kitty. Meow, meow, meow.
Woof.